Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Mraz. A wild Tuesday on the DA show. A reaction to the Packers win versus the Lions. Soundcheck, a trash Tuesday. DA has no voice. A Steelers fan goes number two in his pants. What more can happen? It's the best of the DA show now.
Last night, of course, Monday Night Football, Packers and Lions. And this was a get-right moment for the Packers, we would all assume, because, of course, the Lions are the Lions. But that's not the way that it looked early in this game. But by the end of it, the Packers, behind Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers, had pulled away for what appeared to be an easy victory. So when you look at the final score and the second half of this game as the Packers pulled away, was this a get-right moment for the Pack? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Four-man rush. There's the snap. Here's Rodgers. Short pass caught by Jones. 10, far side. 5, angling to the pylon. He'll run in. Touchdown. Aaron Rodgers has just thrown his fourth touchdown pass tonight. Third to the running back, Aaron Jones. And the Packers have gone up by 10 with 7 seconds to play on a rainy night here in the third quarter.
There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One with the call. That, of course, is Aaron Rodgers after the game. Aaron Jones ended up scoring 4 touchdowns of the night, although the majority of them were through the air. Little swing passes to Jones out in the flat. He was able to bulldoze his way into the end zone after those catches. And I think that in some ways, yeah, this is a Packers offense that needed to feel good about itself after what happened against the New Orleans Saints in week number one. And I think you come out of last night and say, yeah, offensively, we were able to do what we want to do, especially in the second half of the game. I think when you look at the numbers, they're probably a little better than the game went, considering it was a really close game right through halftime, and the Lions stuck in there. Now, the Lions defensively dropped their safeties really deep, something that the Saints had done a week ago, trying to keep everything in front of them and limit the big plays. And, of course, the Packers were a disaster a week ago against the Saints. So the Lions tried the same thing. Didn't work nearly as well. Lions couldn't come up and stick the run as well as they usually would have been able to do. It left a lot of stuff underneath. Packers ran the football well, like I said, able to hit Aaron Jones in the flat a number of times. And Jones's big night really was the definition of why the Packers looked so good last night. I think because of that, the Lions are rebuilding, the Lions are young, and the Lions sticking around for a half is probably as good as they would have liked it. So I'm not sure that this is the get-well game that the Packers are going to try to make it out to seem. Offensively, yeah, they were fine. Rodgers can say, get off our back, the trolls, people like to say bleep, all of that stuff, and he likes to buck against that criticism. That's fine. I don't think this in any way suggests that the Packers are out of the woods. You know, for a half, it was a game. For a half, the Lions were able to stick right there with them. Packers defensively letting Goff look pretty good in that first half, a couple of touchdown passes. Long ways to go in my mind for the Packers to prove that last night was somehow a breakout moment. A win is better than a loss. Rodgers and Jones were very, very good. I thought the throw that Rodgers made near sideline, the big one to Davante Adams, was one of those, okay, that's a classic signature, beautiful deep pass from Rodgers. Packers offense starting to look the part. And that was, you know, when you can complete that over the shoulder, 2 feet in bounds, big play, move the chains, chunk yardage, get some momentum, crowds into it. Packers need a lot more of that. But I still don't think that beating the Lions in any way, shape, or form at home after being in a tight game through the first half is a huge symbol of, oh, okay, they're right now. They're out of the woods. They're going to be fine. It's going to take more than that. And taking on the Niners this upcoming week, well, that's a pretty good place to start. If you win that game, okay, that's a different animal. But beating the Lions doesn't do a ton for me to insist that everything is fine in Packerland. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Follow me, DA on CBS. Bogues, what'd you think last night? A get right game for the Packers, or don't overreact?
I think there's a good level of reaction here because they were also down 17-13 at halftime. And you're thinking, oh, okay, maybe last week was a little more real than we thought, the struggles in their opener. And then they rally with three straight scores to open the second half, pitch a shutout defensively, and they win. So the win in and of itself, sure, take it with a grain of salt. It's the Lions, it's Goff, it's Campbell. They're all new. They're secondary, messed up with injuries. But I think the fact that they actually, the Packers, struggled early, another slow start, had maybe some doubts at halftime, and then threw a knockout punch after halftime, I think is it a little more oomph. It took them six quarters to get going. Maybe now they're finally going here in the right direction early this season.
So that's interesting. You would not grade them down for trailing at the half against the Lions. You would actually grade them up because they blew the doors off the Lions in the second half.
Well, I guess I did grade them down at halftime because it opened up the possibility that week one was closer to reality. I mean, I tried not to overreact to week one because everybody has bad games. They picked a bad time to have one out of the chute coming off all of the offseason drama. But then when I turn on the TV and the Lions score right away and then score again and then lead at the break, you get a little skeptical, but then they answered. So I actually, let's just say, had this game ended same final score, but Green Bay was up early and the Lions came back, I might feel a little bit different. I like the fact that they took the punch early and then finally woke up and pushed their way, finished strong, and maybe sends them better into week three.
I don't believe the concerns over the Packers, though, suddenly go away after last night. I think that a lot of people had concerns going into this game, obviously. And against a better team, I mean, if they come out next week against the Niners and they stink, or, you know, they're clearly a notch below the Niners, don't we go back to how we felt after week number one?
Oh, there's no doubt that the Niners can put them back in their place and restart all of these conversations. But also, too, the Saints, who roughed them up in week one, then gave us nothing in week two. So there's all these weird things you can't connect here. But for now, they won. And at least offensively, they looked like the Packers were expecting to see after halftime last night. And even for the whole game, they scored still scored 35 points. So all we can judge them on is right now. And I thought at least for quarters three and the beginning of the fourth, when it didn't matter anymore, they calmed some of my fears about what was going on around them.
That point you make about how the Saints came out and stunk in week two as well is important. I mean, how much of the NFL is simply just week to week, opponent of opponent, and just kind of like it's impossible to project whether after two games, three games, six games, or seven games, how good a team really is, because we see great followed by stink kind of consistently in this league.
Yeah, and I think it shows you the really good teams that maybe the gap between them and the second level is a little bigger than we even think. I mean, I know the Chiefs are coming off a loss, but they still looked Chief-ish for a good chunk of Sunday Night Football. The Rams were on the road and were impressive, held on and got a win down the stretch against the Colts. So, you know, I think the teams that we think are really good, that are good week to week, maybe deserve even more credit, because it is hard to repeat success and repeat victories and stay on the top of your game every single week over this long season. More often than not, the teams that are just okay are going to flip back and forth between just okay and sometimes ugly.
I think that's fair. I mean, the Buccaneers are probably going to make things look pretty easy this season, And so you've got to give them credit for that. Even though I don't think they're unbeatable, they'll probably make things look kind of easy. And the Chiefs, I don't worry about after Sunday night, because offensively, had they not fumbled the football on that final drive, they're likely going down the field, kicking the game-winning field goal. They get out of Dodge with a, you know, scoring nearly 40 points against a good Ravens team on the road and 2-0. So I don't necessarily fear anything that happened on Sunday night football with the Chiefs. So that is true. There's kind of a separation between the top teams and the middle tier. If you can make it look relatively easy, considering so many teams look like they're week-to-week teams.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, we begin with Pete Carroll, Seahawks head coach, as the Seahawks get a loss on Sunday at home against the Tennessee Titans, and the NFL is enforcing this new taunting rule. What does Pete think about it?
I really respect what they're trying to get done, you know, and they would like the game, you know, to not have that in it. It's a hard transition. You saw what it took for us to get a penalty there. I think it's we've opened up a bit of a can of worms, you know, and so we gotta have to find our way through it here as we go. I don't know how other teams are doing with it, but it hasn't worked well for us so far.
They got a couple of taunting penalties on Sunday, and I just think this is the stupidest rule going. I mean, look, I understand if it's really over the top, if you're looking at guys who are getting in each other's faces, grabbing face masks, yelling, chirping all the way back down the field, and it's distracting, and it's really, really obnoxious and confrontational. I don't understand it when it's just, you know, cheering for the play that you made, which is what happened on Sunday's game. If you make a great defensive play downfield and you're just kind of like excited about it, you can't throw a 15-yard penalty flag there. And I just think that it's gone so over the top, and Pete Carroll's being diplomatic there, but it's stupid. It's so stupid. These are grown men. They're millionaire athletes. They're adults. They're going to be excited. It's an emotional game. There's 60, 70, 80,000 people in the crowd going nuts for what you're doing. There's tons of spotlight and scrutiny on everything that you do. 15 yards for cheering for the play that you just made, or saying a little this, a little that. You got to allow some leniency there. I think that this rule is just so dumb. It's just so incredibly stupid. You know, and Bogues, I mean, we saw this happen on Sunday watching in real time with that Seahawks and Titans game. I just think it's so overboard, and you have these officials that are probably scared that the league office wants them to crack down to this, and so they're going to overreact, but it's totally unnecessary in my mind.
And everyone saw this coming the second this started to leak out in the offseason, that this was going to be a point of emphasis, because it's a really hard situation to officiate, to take nothing, you know, to give them no pass here. It's really hard on the fly to find that line where a guy goes too far, does too much, lingers too long, stands over an opponent. Like, there should definitely be some room to do some yapping after a play. I've said this before jokingly. I would love this rule to really be based on, like, context. Like, if a guy gets up and gloats after making a tackle after a wide receiver burned him for 22 yards, or celebrates a sack when his team is down 3 scores in the fourth quarter, like, I want that penalty to be thrown for you being a dope for having the wrong time to celebrate. But otherwise, I think we all have far much more room for letting these guys do a couple of things after a play than the officials do right now. And everyone, again, knew this was going to be a problem. And there's no simple 15-yard penalty. Maybe this sounds too simplistic, but, like, 15 yards always matters. You get away from your own goal line, you get to midfield, you get across midfield, you get into field goal range, you get into the red zone. 15 yards is a huge chunk of the field no matter where you are. So there's no version of this call that is meaningless, a throwaway. Every single one is going to affect the game in that moment. And the montage that I saw yesterday of all the flags from Sunday and Thursday, none of them to me warranted a flag. And so they were 0 for, I don't know, 9 calling this over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like, why isn't there a 5-yard version of this? Why does it have to be a 15-yard version of this? And was this a problem? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of issues with the NFL and pass interference and roughing the passer and things that feel like that are not a penalty, that are a penalty, and what's a possession and what's a catch. Out of all of the things, were we watching the NFL the last couple of years being like, you know what they really need to crack down on is taunting? I never felt that way.
No, and I, you know, people, as this was going on Sunday night, Monday, you know, there were people taking this to this conversation to a deeper place, like racial undertones, because these are African American, these are black players, and for the most part, you're flagging them for being excited, being flamboyant, celebrating. So I don't know how far we go down that road, but it does feel like there could be something similar here to David Stern's NBA dress code battle, which was definitely a response from like older white fans and business partners not liking the way that young black men were dressing on NBA sidelines. And I wonder if there were people outside football, not just simple fans, who were complaining to the NFL that this was not the things they wanted to see on the field. Because you're right. I mean, again, sometimes it's dumb. Sometimes it doesn't fit the narrative of the game. Sometimes it was too much. But nobody thought the NFL was in some kind of epidemic of over-taunting players back and forth through every single game on a weekend.
How can you encourage team-wide celebrations with huge jumbotrons in the end zone for your guys to come and preen in front of the camera? How can you allow team-wide dance recitals in the end zone? How can you allow them to gather on the sideline and do everything that they do and then think that you're cracking down on taunting? I don't understand. And if you're right, if these are just like really old crotchety fans that just don't like a younger generation, well, then they shouldn't like anything about the NFL. Like, everything right now is splashy. It's loud. It's in your face. Everything about the NFL. Before Sunday Night Football, there's Carrie Underwood performing concerts in-game in L.A. There's a DJ in the end zone. It's a Rocket line. I mean, everything is about flash and bigger and louder. So why are we listening to a couple of, now, unless this is owners, unless this is somebody in the NFL that doesn't like it. I think I've heard, you know, the Maras say they don't like it, but I just said this was never an issue. We never take phone calls or tweets or emails from people like, you know what's wrong with the NFL? They taunt too much. I haven't heard anybody say that. So why this is suddenly now a reason to crack down, Bogues, I have no idea.
Me neither, but I will say this, I guess, in defense of the officials, like as a closing thought, I mean, it is also easy, in theory, for players to not get up and don't stand over a guy. Get up and walk away, strut, shake your shoulders, do your little sack dance, get up and move away from the guy that you just laid out. That seems to me to be a simple coaching point, something you should remember as a player. Is just don't do it directly over the guy. Like, that's while we figure out this rule, which is not going to change in season, by the way, they clearly might fade away from calling it. But the bigger issue of the rule in and of itself needs to be addressed down the road. For now, though, that's something you've got to adjust to as a player. You can't put yourself in position to have a silly flag thrown against you.
In Giants land, they're 0-2, and there was a moment in Thursday night's loss against Washington where wide receiver Kenny Golladay appeared to be barking at Daniel Jones. He said, no, it was not Daniel Jones. It was my offensive coordinator. Here's Golladay.
Pretty much just me talking to JG a little bit, and, you know, that's two competitive guys right there. And more so just me just wanting to do anything I can. Not so much give me the ball more, though.
Look, I know that there's a lot of pressure on Kenny Golladay after the way that he was paid in the offseason, paid like a number one, and he's really not a number one. And I said that at the time, and I said if Giants fans expect him to be a number one, they're going to be sadly disappointed. If the Giants feel like he's going to have the production of a number one, disappointed. Is it a good addition for a young quarterback? Sure. Is it a good addition for an offense still trying to find itself and build? Yeah. But is he a number one? No. And I think Golladay feels that way. And when you look at the first two outings, I mean, week number one was a disaster from Daniel Jones to the offense. Week number two was better, certainly, and Jones played well enough to win. But defensively, they gave up that game-winning drive that, of course, Dexter Lawrence offside on the field goal that was a miss. But I think, though, Bogues, here where you have like, oh, he's not going after his quarterback, they're fine. If he's going after his play caller, that's kind of just as disappointing or worrisome. I don't know if suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, no big deal. He just hates Jason Garrett's play calling.
Yeah, but I will say Kenny Golladay speaks for the people. I mean, I think everybody that cares about the Giants wants to yell at Jason Garrett about their offense, whether it's specifically about Kenny Golladay's lack of use or the unit as a whole. There's a lot of people who want to scream in Jason Garrett's face. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is not necessarily good news or end of story where he goes, oh, no, not the QB. It was the OC. That was the guy I was yelling at. He can say it wasn't a big deal, but you're yelling at your boss, so to speak, on the sideline in the middle of a game. And I know there's competition, heat of the moment, all that good stuff. But the bottom line is your star wide receiver is still yelling at folks because he's not having the impact on the game through 2 weeks that you're paying him to have. And we are all mad about that. So let's all yell at Jason Garrett with Kenny Golladay.
Don't worry. I don't hate my quarterback. I mean, I hate my coach. I don't hate my quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I mean, my quarterback's fine. I think my coach just sucks right now. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Golladay the entire season because I don't know about you, Bogues, but when they signed that contract, I said, don't expect number one production out of that guy. He's good. He's not great. And he's probably slotted above what his potential could be here.
Yes. Is he overpaid? Sure. Are there too high expectations on him? Probably. But they still needed somebody that at least resembled a number one wide receiver, and they went and got him. Now they just need to learn how to use him in that regard. And that might be on him too here, but that's the other side of this coin is you never know as an outsider what act going on here. Kenny Golladay could be running every single wrong route on every single play, making bad reads, not making himself open to Daniel Jones. That's the stuff that we don't know, and I'm assuming Jason Garrett's not going to tell us that, or Joe Judge. So you kind of only have Kenny Galladay's side of the story here. But yes, temper some expectations, but there should be more Kenny Golladay through two games than we've gotten so far.
Game number one, 6 targets, 4 catches, 64 yards, no touchdowns. On Thursday, 3 catches, 38 yards, no touchdowns. Not what you're looking at, not what you're looking for with that huge contract. And finally, here's Matt Nagy into an odd exchange with a reporter over the status of Andy Dalton.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Oh, boy. Yeah. have the Bears just... They botched this. Even though they tried to be honest about, you know, their loyalty to Andy Dalton, that's just not good enough in that town right now. And now that Dalton's injured, everybody wants Justin Fields in there. And, you know, it's like Nagy's just so uncomfortable admitting what everybody sees, which is Fields, even though he wasn't good on Sunday, is what the future clearly is. And so is Andy Dalton's scheme? Who's your starting quarterback when healthy? Is that scheme? I mean, coaches, when they do this, folks, I laugh like, Who do you really think you're kidding here when you beat around the bush? Like when Kyle Shanahan just would not admit that Garoppolo was the starter the entire offseason, even though that everybody knew that. I laughed at that. Like these guys are wired in such a weird way about this.
I read this exchange as we were sitting in the, I guess it was the Boise airport yesterday morning. So it was like, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 11 to 12 Eastern time. And I could not wait to see the video of this back and forth, because this is such a punk move by Nagy. And I don't know if technically personnel is scheme and scheme is personnel. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know the fact that if Andy Dalton isn't healthy, Justin Fields is their starting quarterback. Like we know the ultimate answer to the question I think that Brad Biggs was asking there. So I just don't know why Matt Nagy couldn't have said that, unless you know, now is there actually in his head a conversation about healthy Dalton versus healthy Fields, and they're leaning towards the rookie? And then, by the way, they had to issue a statement later in the day to go, yes, if Andy's healthy, he'll be our starting quarterback. So we got the answer anyway after Nagy had to flex this, like you said, these weird head coach muscles where they can't be honest about things that we all know the answer to.
Well, also, I mean, could it be Nick Foles in the mix as well, where they just they refuse to put Justin Fields in there at any given point in time over the next month, 2 months, this season? And so it's going to be Foles. I mean, then just say that. Like, no, you know what? Justin right now is not ready. If Andy can't do it, then, you know, we'll have to look at Nick. I mean, I just don't know why being this coy about quarterbacks seems to make such a difference in their mind competitively. Or they're just scrambling to rationalize why Andy Dalton is QB1. Maybe that's the big thing, and they're just constantly defensive about that.
But this wouldn't be the way to be deceptive about Andy Dalton. The way to be deceptive is if don't tell me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday how he's doing at practice. Don't have him do full practices. Then I don't know who's going to play. Me knowing that if he's healthy, he'll play is not the same thing as knowing that he's going to play on Sunday. So Matt Nagy could have answered that question yesterday very simply and said, yes, Andy is still my starter when healthy. But then we get to practice time, then they don't tell us if he's healthy, so then we don't know if he's starting. So he's not even good at being deceptive when he's trying to be deceptive.
And that is your sound check this morning. Let's do it. Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Bogeyman, who are you trashing?
Well, I feel like we might have some shared trashes from travel yesterday, but here is my new specific one. So I landed at New York's LaGuardia Airport at roughly 12 hours ago. About as we began our initial descent into the New York area, the pressure in the cabin seemed to just plummet. Not to the point where we've got the masks dropping down from the ceiling, put your mask on first, whatever. But enough that, like, my water bottle, like, shrunk in a little bit. When I opened it up, it smacked back open. Yeah. And then I realized that I was newly deaf because my ears were just completely, completely clogged. Went to the old trick, chew some gum, fake yawn, and my right ear cleared up pretty quickly. My left ear is still basically useless. Ooh. Like, I think this headphone is in there, but I can't really feel it. I can't necessarily hear anything. It just feels like somebody plugged my left ear. So there I was last night on the old internet. How serious is this? Is it that bad?
Oh, you freaked out.
And the good news is there's not blood coming out of my ear, so I'm safe for now.
Good.
But the WebMD description says, I don't need to see a doctor for a couple of days of this. I don't need any more minutes of this. So I need to figure out how to get my left ear unclogged ASAP because it is driving me nuts. Get them out.
Okay, trash it.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
So what does WebMD suggest you do to try to pop the ear?
What I've already tried. The yawning, the chewing, gum. There might be some wives' tales out there. I try to make a suction cup with my hand and I somehow break the pressure. I've been twisting my neck, shaking my head, tipping over to the side, jumping up and down. I mean, nothing works here. And apparently, I just gotta sit and wait for the pressure in my middle ear to readjust.
So they say you've got to wait another 4 or 5 days of this before you can go to the doctor?
Yeah, the last section is when you should seek medical help. And one is if the pain becomes unbearable, which it's not, it's just annoying. If there's blood, which I don't thankfully have, and if it lasts, if it's still there after a couple of days. And I've had this before, so I think, at times it's a battle for me. In fact, I was surprised landing, getting to Boise last week and not feeling anything on two flights, one to Denver, one to Boise. Ears didn't bother me at all. I went, oh, that was a good trip for me. So I've dealt with this before, but never, like, this is like max plugged up ear, and it's never lasted this long. I mean, again, I'm on 12 hours of this right now.
I wonder if when it finally clears, you're going to hear like a little whistle. Like there's so much
pressure
now built up for a while. It's going to be like one of the little slow psss.
Or like a little puff of earwax comes out, almost like when LeBron throws the chalk up in there before a game. I want like a little to come out of my ear.
Do you think that maybe it's earwax that's doing this to you?
So that's on the list of things to try after the show. Now, we've learned this on the air as well recently. This is not a lick a Q-tip and rub it around your ear thing. That we learned is not the way to go about cleaning your ear. I think you can put a little hydrogen peroxide in your ear and that'll get some of the wax out. So I might try that just to see if it helps, because again, it's just really damn annoying.
Have you ever looked into ear candling?
I have not, D.A.
Okay.
Does your wife sell those too?
No. Ear candling is a whole different thing. You put like a cone of paper that has a wax finish on the paper into your ear, so pointy side in, and then you light the paper from the outside to the top of the cone, and the heat and the smoke is supposed to go into your ear and melt the earwax, and it's supposed to come out and be drawn out through the cone. Now, I've done this many, many years ago, and sure enough, like that paper gets pretty waxy. There's been some controversy between people about whether or not that's the wax from the paper that's making people think it's their earwax, or whether that's really earwax. But you will get an effect out of it. I don't know if it'll clear up your ear, but you might want to look into ear candling, and I could just imagine you on your side today as you're trying to watch SportsCenter or something like that with a big cone out of your ear and smoke rising to the heavens like you're sending out smoke signals.
Yeah, before the tweets come in about whether or not I should do this, I'm pretty certain I'm not going to do this, DA. Okay. I thank you for your care for me here and your suggestion, but I feel like burning paper is not something I want to put near my ear, let alone in my ear. So I'll probably just deal with this for a while. I'll see a doctor before I burn something in my head. I think that's a safe bet for me.
Send Andrew Bogus your suggestions, okay? Your home tips on how to clear the pressurized ear from landing yesterday from the flight at Andrew Bogus on Twitter, at Andrew Bogus. He will read through the best and specifically the worst suggestions as well. That'll be interesting to see just how bad the suggestions get on how Bogus can clean his ears. Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing One Hour Photo. You know, I think this is a repeat trash, but
for what? Still existing?
Yes, for still existing.
Oh.
Well, because sometimes you have to go get hard copies of pictures, you know, for your parents, for the grandparents, for all that.
You want
to
frame something?
Right, of course. So every time I've gone to One Hour Photo, the three times within the last year that I've gone to One Hour Photo, there's always something wrong. It's never a complete satisfying trip. It's always someone's head's cut off, the pictures aren't done on time, you have to wait another day for it. It's never, you can never go in there and say, hey, I got my photos, no problem, here's some Swedish fish, I'm out and done for the day. You can never get that. It's always a problem. The first photo that's in the album, my head is cut off. It's Timmy, my wife, and my head cut off. I mean, what are we doing here? It's photos. It's not like we're asking you to reinvent the wheel. I mean, I just don't get how this can always be so bad. It's never, ever 100% satisfactory. Get them the hell out.
That's a dumpster dive.
I've done this as well, where you kind of like upload the photos to like Walgreens.com or something, and then you're supposed to frame it and crop it and do this and do that, and you're supposed to touch it up and no red eye, and you're like, why am I doing all this work?
Exactly.
Here?
Why are you doing that?
And then you finally go in there and get it, and you're like, oh, these still look terrible. Or you're waiting for them to say your photos are ready and nobody's done them yet, or they say they're ready, then you go there, they're like, yeah, nobody's gotten to them yet. I mean, I fought this battle many a times. I think it was a Walgreens that we had in our neighborhood last time where my wife and I were a couple years ago, and I tried to do this for like her Christmas gift or something. And, you know, of course, I waited until December 23rd, and like nobody's at the Walgreens to do it. And I'm just like, what if I decided to do it? Bogues.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bilotti's right here. It can be a harrowing experience trying to crop your own printout photos.
Sure, but I think the problem might be if he's going to a true one-hour photo, a place whose only job is printing out pictures, I think the problem is they're not awake when he rings them. He's restart, like, there, no one's going there except for Pete, so there's long lulls in their production. So he's waking somebody up, they're turning the computers back on.
That's
maybe they haven't run a
fault.
New update in a while, so the margins are wrong.
That's not my fault. Don't offer the service then. Yeah. I don't care if you're not active. That's not my problem. I want a damn photo. I want 20 photos.
They only staff their store. They only staff their store around your personal calendar.
Then close it up. Close it up. You know what? Don't even bother then. Hey, why even bother with doing photos then? If you're not gonna be invested into it, it's not just for me. There's probably other people that are getting their heads cut off.
Oh. Off with his head.
Yeah. Enough.
So yesterday, I mean, just the travel, the whole thing is so tough these days. The whole flight thing is so tough. The plane thing is so tough. I mean, you know, it's staffing is low and there's fewer flights. And now we're flying with masks on. And just everything is just tougher these days about travel. So, you know, the little things that have always been annoying certainly like rise to the next level of annoying. And Bogues, you and I just experienced a day's worth of hell on earth yesterday. Number one, there is a woman, middle-aged woman, that's sitting in our gate yesterday waiting for the first flight out, our flight out. So that's our first of two flights from Boise to Denver. And she is... It's relatively early in the morning. We had a 10:40 flight, so around 9 a.m., 8:30 a.m., we're already at the gate. By 9:15, she's there as well. And, you know, she figures for breakfast she's going to devour some frosty cupcake doughy powdery thing, okay? Which I can't disagree with that, but she is, like, staring straight ahead, like out the window at the tarmac, and she takes a big bite out of this frosty gooey thing, and there's all powder all over her face, and she's just completely unaware. She's just mauling this breakfast cupcake type thing, and I'm like, okay, it's a little distracting, a little awkward. You have, you know, flour and icing all over your mouth.
Yeah, she was Sean's dream woman, but for most of us, it wasn't a plus.
Then she proceeds to finish the whole thing, and she still has all of this stuff around her mouth. And I'm like, oh, God, are you going to get that, ma'am? I don't say this, but I'm looking at her. She then takes her right hand, sticks her entire thumb into her mouth, licks off everything, sucks her thumb dry, does it to her index finger, then does it to her middle finger, then does it to her ring finger, then does it to her pinky. All five fingers individually go into her mouth, and she is sucking all of the cream or the frosting off of these. Okay, great. Then she goes to the other hand. So I'm watching this woman suck 10 digits worth of Boston cream off of her fingers as she has powder and the rest around her mouth. I'm like, oh, can we just get a clue here? Like, you're in mixed company and you're at an airport, and who knows what you've touched to this point in time. Do you need to be sticking your entire fingers in your mouth like you're Jameis Winston eating a W? So she's done with this. Then she finds out, oh, look, there's some leftovers around the side of my mouth that I'm going to eat that as well. So breakfast is finally done. You think, okay, you know what? We're done with this woman. She's done here. Oh, no, she's right back into our lives, because immediately after that, Bogues, she flips open her phone and she takes a speakerphone call from, I guess, her husband, as he's like walking her through travel stuff today because he's not there. So now we have to listen to the entire conversation with this woman's husband, and she has the gall to say, honey, why don't you talk low, because I'm on speakerphone right now. So she's aware she's annoying, but instead of just going to, regular phone mode, she's got to watch him on FaceTime and listen to him. And so we, no matter how low he's talking, you heard this, we get to hear the entire conversation.
I spent, and I'm still doing it again right now, so, and this was almost 24 hours ago, I have spent way too much time trying to figure out the rationale of, hey, hun, talk low and talk quick because I'm on speakerphone at gate B10 in the Boise airport. I don't want to bother anybody. As if she can't just take the call like a normal human with her phone to her ear so we only hear her. It's hurting me. It was so preposterous, and it followed. I missed the eating part of the story, but I didn't miss her barging up to the ticket counter, and I wish I paid better attention because I don't remember the exact question, but she had a question about her seat, I believe, after like the very initial, like, we're about to begin boarding announcement to the nice woman at the counter, that left the woman at the counter like dumbfounded. She like didn't know how to answer the question, and then the lady closes with, oh, and we're going to Denver, right? And the lady's like, yes, like the signs above me, I just said Denver, you came here like you own the place, like you're the mayor of Denver. Yeah, we're going to Denver. But then not all of that was just the opening act for speak slow and speak quick. You're on speakerphone, not let me not have you on speakerphone. I mean, this woman was magic.
Oh, boy. And so then we get to, we fly into Denver and get off the flight. And then you and I grab a little lunch. Then we go to different gates. As I leave you and I'm heading to my gate, a guy is walking towards me. And he looks into a garbage can. And he just hocks a huge loogie into the garbage can. And I'm just like, oh. Okay. Oh, we can't just go into a bathroom, dude. You could not have just gone to the bathroom and, done this in a toilet or put it into a napkin or a paper towel. No, we had to just hock a huge spittoon into a at the gate. That really, really nice. And then I finally land in Newark yesterday, last night, and we actually made it on time, which is great. We landed 7:14. The captain's really excited. We got you here on time after a slight delay in Denver. And everybody's like, yes, this is great. And of course, we've had like a long day. We did the show yesterday, so we were up at 3 a.m. In Boise. It's now 7 p.m. I'm like ready to go home. Sorry, everybody. There's some traffic on the tarmac. We don't have a gate. So we're going to have to sit here until we get a gate. It'll be 5 to 7 minutes. in about 10 minutes. Sorry, everybody. Apparently, they haven't pushed away from their own gate yet, so we're still waiting on this. We'll be another 5 to 10 minutes. 10 minutes after that. Sorry, everybody. There was apparently some mechanical trouble with the flight in front of us at that gate, so they're just clearing out now. It'll be about another 5 to 10 minutes or so. It was like we were caught at a traffic light, like a traffic jam on the tarmac in Newark. We couldn't actually physically get to a gate because there were too many flights in front of us at the same intersection. So then we finally get to the gate, and as you might imagine, I mean, the bags were, I mean, another 20 minutes to get the bags. We landed at 7:14. I didn't get out of there and into a car, I think, until 8:35, 8:40 or so. No, actually, 8:45. I think was when I got out. I mean, it was an hour and a half almost from the time we landed to the time I got my bags. I mean, and I'm just going, can we just, what are we doing here? Can we make this a little more pleasant or just, you know, just not enough to make you just want to go postal?
I mean, I feel,
so let's
I
trash
feel
it.
Bad because
oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Sorry, I'm deaf. Don't forget.
That's right. Sorry.
I feel bad because if it wasn't for my completely useless left ear, I would have had a pretty remarkably good travel day. Once we cleared the crazy lady in Boise, the flight to Denver was fine. Our lunch was delicious. Got to my gate fine. Walked right on the plane. Sat down. There was a couple initially, they had separate seats. The guy was sitting in the middle seat to my right, and his wife, girlfriend, was in the middle seat directly behind him. Luck have it, the seat to her right, the person never got on the plane. So when they closed the door and we pulled it back from the gate,
oh,
the flight
huge.
Attendant let the guy next to me go that's back huge. There. So now I have an empty seat wow. next to me, which is amazing. I turn on The Departed about an hour into the flight. The movie ends. I'm not kidding. As the plane hits the ground at LaGuardia, I didn't even know. I knew we were landing, but I didn't know that we were, like, landing.
Oh, wow.
Final scene, Departed ends. Boom, we're at LaGuardia. We get to a gate. We walk off. I get to baggage claim. My bag is already on the carousel.
Oh, my God.
My wife's outside. No problem waiting for me at LaGuardia. Sometimes you got to, you know, got to do the loop again and come back. And it could not have gone easier except for the fact that I might now have a handicap for the rest
yeah,
of my life because
right.
I can't
yeah.
hear out of my left ear.
My flights were difficult, but at least I have my hearing. Bogus's flights were amazing, but he now has lost all hearing out of his left ear.
All right, all right, all right, all right. DA, no voice left. Bogus, what the heck did you do to him? As Mraz and Bogus now take over. The guy lands back from Boise. Potatoes, beer, he's got no voice. It's Mraz and Bogus taking you the rest of the way. Full disclosure, I don't really want this public. You haven't heard me for the first 2 hours because there was some potential that we thought baby Mraz could have been here, so I was not around for the first 2 hours. We didn't tell any family this. There were a lot of warning signs, as it turns out, baby Mraz not here. So now I am back, poked in, going to do this from home the rest of the way. But just if anybody's wondering, where the hell's Mraz been? He didn't have a Trash Tuesday. That's exactly what was going on. We had a little bit of a situation at 4 a.m. where we thought maybe, just maybe, the day might be here. It is not here, so I am back with you, Bogus. And what a day for that to happen, for DA to have no voice. Hello, how are you?
So you poked in because the baby didn't poke out. That's where we are this morning.
Yeah, and honestly, perfect okay. segue here. Perfect segue as these segments have been drawn up. A Steeler fan, frankly, pooped his pants on Sunday. So that was a honey, hold the fort on having a baby. A Steeler fan did number two in his pants and stayed in the stadium. The boys need me for a take. So here's where we take over.
Do you like the house we live in?
Yeah.
Do you like Bob's Blar? Do you like the pool? This all comes from show money, and the show money's about me having takes and yeah. doing it myself, having yes. accidents. So let's get back to the house.
So if you haven't seen this picture, it's really simple. Just Google Steelers fan, you know, and use whatever word you want to use for number two, and the picture will come up. It is a guy in a really bad knockoff throwback Jerome Bettis jersey in his socks with no pants, no underwear, at a sink in a bathroom at Heinz Field next to a garbage can with crushed beers. And there is just his pants getting soaked in water and his underwear. And somebody took a picture of this. This fan apparently did the do in his own pants and refused to leave the game, Bogic. That's how diehard a Steeler fan was. Says he would rather sit in soaked poopy pants than leave a Steeler game in which they lost to the Raiders and Ben Roethlisberger looked like his pants in this game. The question arises, do you have to leave a Steeler game if you poop your pants?
I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. And then just for the record, I did the adult thing here. I did not look at the picture. I don't need to see this.
Oh, the picture's great. It's just skinny legs with the bottom of his bump sitting there with the Bettis jersey ever so long.
Yeah, I'll be fine not actually seeing this. I'll just take your play-by-play as the only record of it.
Oh, but,
and I guess I have to I got to ask you as the expert. I mean, yes, you've got to leave, but before you leave, you do have to, I guess, clean up. But don't the underpants become like the initial toilet paper here? Like you clean yourself as much as you can with the underpants, and then you just throw them away, and then you clean yourself with normal methods, and then you clean your pants so you can put your pants back on sans underwear to get back home. Why is he cleaning the underwear as if he needs to reuse the undies here?
I'm going to be fair to Mr. Bettis here. You can't actually see the underwear. I was going under the assumption the underwear was there with the pants as well because it's a big clean job. I have done this where I have cleaned the underwear because it's a good pair I don't want to throw out. And I'll soak it real good. And then I'll obviously wash it real good because I'm disgusting like this. But I'll tell you, Bogus, you know, this year 17 games. Usually the 16, usually get 8 games, maybe 9 home games. Those are precious. You can't be leaving a stadium because you couldn't hold your bowels. So I almost had an incident like this during a Giant Packer game. I've mentioned it several times where I had a lot of Mexican lasagna at a tailgate and then Jump Around came on and it jumped right out of me. Let's just put it that way. And I did not leave the stadium. Now, there was 5 minutes left. I ended up in a stall and people slamming on as the game ended. The Giants won. It was a big effort. JPP with a pick six. But nonetheless, I've been there where this guy is. This is not a baseball game where there's 82 of them. Football game, you have to stay. And if you have an accident in your pants, there's no way you're getting me to leave.
Yeah, see, again, we're going to have to agree to disagree here. I understand the scarcity of NFL home games. And even if you have the extra 9-1 here, but I think some things require your exit from a game, no matter how important it is. And
he had an exit required. There's no.
Yeah, I know. So we needed a second. One exit leads to the other, I guess. And sure, the severity of it plays into effect here. I guess there certain things could be cleaned up, and you could rebound pretty quickly. But if you're left at the sink, pantsless. I mean, the shame of just standing there with the bottom of your butt cheeks hanging out where everyone knows what you're doing coming in. Like, I don't even like to go to number two normally in a crowded bathroom where everyone knows what I'm doing. This guy's cleaning himself because he did it in his pants and apparently doesn't seem to be embarrassed by it. You can't go back to your seat. You just gotta leave. Clean before you go, but you gotta leave.
What do you think he ate at the tailgate?
Oh, I mean, there's no telling. It's Pittsburgh. I'm assuming it had to involve some kind of, like, tubed grilled meat, right? I mean, there's gotta be brats, something.
Our buddy and CBS Sports Radio personality Andrew Filippone was at the Steelers tailgates, and he was taking all sorts of good videos. There were people tossing tortellini in pots. There were a lot of big sausages being eaten. So I got to imagine there was a lot of combination. I think that's what did me in during my Giants-Packer incident was. It wasn't just the Mexican lasagna. It was, did you need the two hot dogs with it? Did you need whatever meatballs were being made as well? Sometimes it gets to be a combo. And then if you throw in some cheap beer too, right? If you're drinking some Keystone Light there in the parking lot and you get basically, you rip through 10 of those before, and by the way, a 1 p.m. start local time, you're talking about your body's not even ready for what you're putting into the body by 8 a.m. at that tailgate. You're creating a massacre. And frankly, I'm shocked this doesn't happen more often. In fact, I would say before social media and cameras on phones, I would venture to guess that several Steeler fans have done number two in their pants following a tailgate and tried to find their way through. But this is the first time now it's getting caught in camera. It's kind of like instant replay, right? We think that umpires and referees have gotten worse. No, they've always been this way. We just have now the footage to see how bad they are. I think now we just have the footage to see this. Now, if there was going to be ever a Steeler jersey you wore too, Bogus, while going number two in your pants, does it the bad knockoff Bettis fit this perfectly?
I mean, only an offensive lineman would have been would have made more sense in this. Some big sloppy
dude. Castro jersey.
Exactly. And it's not a judgment about David or the individual player. It's just thinking a guy that's over 320 is the one that's gonna soil
Von
himself
Hoffen
during
jersey.
A game. Yeah. This is all about Kimo Von Ohlhofen. He broke Carson Palmer's knee and then ruined his pants.
So this is a question, I think, for the audience as we're on coast to coast in North America. What fan base do you think is least likely to have a fan go number two in their pants and stay through a game?
Least
like, who's
likely
a clean
is a tough
fan
one.
Base? Yeah, who's a clean fan base?
Wow, that's a tough one because there's so many people, obviously, in these buildings. It opens up to all sorts of different demographics.
Right,
and every
but then you also
team
have to
figure
food at the tailgate. Like, I'm shocked this doesn't happen more often at Arrowhead. That's 2 days of RV brisket eating. And yeah. nobody in a Larry Johnson jersey has gone number two in their pants and been caught on camera?
Unless the RVs present a unique and more forgiving bathroom situation than the parking lot porta-potties, which may lead you to forego like the initial tremor of a movement. You go, I can't go to this porta-potty. And then you keep eating, you keep drinking, and now you go past the point of no return. But maybe an Arrowhead RVs, you just get inside. You're temperature controlled. You got almost a real bathroom. You feel much more comfortable taking care of business ahead of time out there, I bet.
Yeah, I would also say Seahawk fans probably very sloppy. It's a lot of coffee running through you early in the morning. I hate to stereotype the coffee capital here of the U.S., but we know a lot of people after they have their morning coffee, usually. Now the morning coffee followed by whatever you're tailgating with, I think there could be big splatter situations going on up in Seattle. So just something to ponder here. Is this maybe
glad
this
you came back for
one.
This.
I did, yes. What a morning it has been. What a... DA, no voice. Me, do I have a baby? Do I not have a baby? I don't. Steeler fans going number two. We're all here.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
All right, folks. I guess you had an ear-popping problem on the airplane on the way home. So our advanced analytics question of the morning. What's the best way to pop your ears? Chew gum, yawn, or a Q-tip? Q-tip lagging 2.5%. Yeah, that's no good for popping your ears. Chewing gum, people love to do that. That finished at 26.3%. But the overwhelming answer, and one that I go with often on an airplane or a train, the yawn, 71.3%. And sometimes it's not even a yawn. It's just kind of opening your mouth wide, cracking your jaw a little bit, and that pops it out for me. Studies reveal that about 30% of flyers feel ear pain due to change in air pressure. An estimated 263,000 children younger than 18 years of age were treated in U.S. emergency rooms for cotton tip applicator-related ear injuries from 1990 through 2010. That averages out to about 34 injuries a day, so over a decade. Or 2 decades, 34 injuries a day from kids with cotton in their ear. It's just why they say, Bogues, and we went over this over the summer, Q-tips not actually made for ear cleaning, yet everybody uses them to clean their ears. It's like that dirty little, we don't want to be sued for you using us to clean your ears, but use us to clean your ears. But kids are getting hurt with them, Bogues. Kids are getting hurt.
Yeah, hopefully we did our part for the community, for society, in that conversation we had over the summer, because we shouldn't be licking Q-tips and putting them in your ears, and you shouldn't be putting dry Q-tips in your ears. But you're right, everyone does it, but hopefully somebody along the way heard that when we discussed it in the summer and changed their habits and maybe saved them or their kids from an ER trip because of ear damage.
So I haven't done that, although I have one of those like manicure kits, which is almost has like a manicured Swiss Army knife of things, right? There's like a little razor blade, a little this. There's one little metal contraption on there I've been using to clean my ears, and I scrape my ear a little bit, and it doesn't hurt, but I end up feeling like I get more clean than I do with a Q-tip. So maybe that's a wave to go with.
So you, 8 times 4 equals 42, are putting now metal objects in your ear?
But I have more control over it. It's more of a scraper than the cotton, which I feel like isn't getting enough for me. It isn't getting enough. So,
yeah, see, that's the thing, though. It's not supposed to be getting anything. So getting more than a Q-tip is actually worse news. Because that was another part of the conversation. Is you're not supposed to take out your earwax. Your earwax is supposed to be in there,
folks,
to protect your ear.
Folks, I can't walk into work with a potato farm in my ear. Come on. All right. Now, if that wasn't the fail,
maybe walk into a doctor's office.
A year ago, we had a 12 DA candidate. It was my 75th anniversary team. Who were the people I would thank if I was in a 75th anniversary? It's today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And let me just start with Kim Rico. Now, you might remember Kim Rico from the fall of 2003, who interviewed a 16-year-old me with spiked hair and decided, this is the sandwich artist I need to hire. She was the first to give me a job, hired me at Subway, and really that set up my potential for working hard and all of that. She installed all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Waka, waka.
I just want to give a shout-out to Beatrice Murray. Beatrice Murray, you might remember from West Babylon High School, fantastic lunch lady at the time. And she was the first in my life to undercook a chocolate chip cookie. But when Beatrice burst onto the scene in West Babylon High School, she underbaked cookies.
A whole new world.
Now, I would also like to add George Higgins to my 75th anniversary list. George is responsible for being the longtime commissioner of the Long Island Flake Football League. Why is that important to me, you say? Well, what George Higgins did with evolving this Long Island Flake Football League is he gave me a safe outlet to play football, organized football, and I got to chase down a dream of playing tight end.
Mraz is a spitter. I can't respect that. You shouldn't either.
Last but not least, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with Steve. But he is our long, long time waiter at the Farmingdale Long Island Applebee's. There was only one thing to do after 10 o'clock, and that was go to Applebee's for half-price appetizers. And we would always sit at the table where Steve got us. Steve looked a lot like Usher. We eventually started calling him Usher. But Steve was the first person in my life to memorize an order. He knew I walked in there. Get yourself a pork shoulder. It was raspberry iced tea on the rocks. It was boneless wings mild. Order of mozzarella stick. The order would come to about $14 every single Friday night.
How does DA not get a spot? Without DA, you'd still be working for Kim Rico and getting cheap eats from Steve / Usher. But well, DA doesn't make the list.
It is amazing.
I forgot DA. Good point.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
What a morning it was. You might have started with DA and ended with me and Bogish. That's the way it is. Who will be here tomorrow? We have no idea, Bogues. We have no idea. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti for holding down the fort. Anthony Pierno chipping in our long list of guests. Thanks to DA for joining us. Thanks to Bogish. Bogish, have a good rest of your Tuesday, man.
Yeah, give my best to Danielle. I love her. Somebody has to.
I will. Take care, everybody. The PGP will be out at some point this week. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.